Blog Talk Radio.
Or they're coming to get you, Barbara.
November. Happy Guy Fawkes Days, guys! It is your host with the most, your harlot of horror, Gore Girl here, and we're celebrating Guy Fawkes Day today, guys. There's just like a show of firsts all around. First of all, I have to make, because I always introduce my tech guy, Ed, so I have to make a formal introduction, because I don't know what happened, it was a strange thing, but sitting next to me is not tech guy, Ed, it is his replacement, Tech Girl Ann. Hello, Tech Girl Ann.
Hello.
Well, don't be shy now. Of course, Ed just jabbers all the time. I never get him to shut up. But anyway, guys, it was the weirdest thing with Tech Guy Ed. I don't know what happened. It was, I'm hearing technical difficulties happening. Anyway, I'm sorry, we got a new system too. But Tech Guy Ed, I actually got a call, what was this, like last week or so? I got a call from Tech Guy Ed. It was kind of strained, kind of scratchy. I heard some static in the background. I heard some thumping. I wasn't really sure what was going on because usually I get calls like that from Ed. It's really not a big deal. You know, he's digging up corpses, all that good stuff. Apparently, the police are on to him because, you know, we talked many shows about his necrophiliaism and, you know, him with the 78-year-old male corpses. Apparently, that's, like, against the law or something. I don't know. It's something stupid like that. That's against the law or some jazz. So the cops are on to him. I hope to God it wasn't me saying all the time that he likes to dig up corpses and yeah, whatever. Anyway, so I hope it wasn't me that did him in. But yeah, he called me and he's in the process of sort of eluding police and simultaneously finding a new stashing ground for his friends, so to speak. So all I can say is Techie Ed, you have fun with that. Run like hell, Ed, run like hell. And don't let them catch you alive. Eat their arms if you have to. Seriously, guys. So Techie Ed is going to be out of commission for, I think the next couple of shows. We are going to have a special guest on the show before Thanksgiving. I do believe Techie Ed said he was going to try to rejoin us for that. But until then, Techie Ed is running from the law. So good luck with that. GG Studios wishes you well. We wish you safe haven. Apparently, running from the law doesn't stop him from being angry about us replacing him while he's gone because he sent numerous death threats to Techie Yan. Did I just call you Yan? I think I just called you Yan.
Yes, you did.
Wow. That's it. Everybody's name, you're just getting a Y in front of it. Because I'm just so used to saying Yed. That, I mean, it's like it's in my subconscious. I daydream. I have dreams at night. You know, I'm constantly, Yed, Yed. Fetch this for me, Yed. Shut up, Yed. Don't make me beat you with the hose, Yed. I mean, it's just it's in my subconscious now. I can't help but saying it. So you are now Yan. You're no longer Ann. You're Techie Yan. I have no idea what that means, but good times. Guys, this is like an insane show tonight. You're going to have to excuse me if I sound a little tired, sound a little crazy, perhaps ramble more than I usually do, which I don't know if that's possible. But, oh, my God, guys, first of all, we had an election yesterday. Okay, we have a new president today, so this is the election version of the show. Then we also It's Guy Fawkes Day, November 5th. We've got tons of cool stuff to talk about. You know, I just explained the Techie Yet thing. And we are coming to you on a new night, a new time, and a new network. How freaking crazy is this, guys? It's nuts. I don't know. I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm like, I'm salivating all over the place. It's crazy. Seriously, it's good stuff. HorrorMovieFans.com has picked us up to join their radio network. Apparently, I don't know, radio network, legion of, you know, killer zombies, whatever. It's all the same. It all rolls together in the wash. But anyway, we have joined their army, and our new goal is to take over the world one severed limb at a time. So good stuff. I am so excited to pair with those guys. It's great times. And, of course, we're usually on Sunday nights after, you know, we were part of this powerhouse lineup of paranormal shows. It was Ghostly Talk, Ghostman Demon Hunter, and then our show. But we've joined the ranks. We've joined new ranks. We've jumped ship. I don't know, jumped the ghost ship. I'm not trying to make a pun there on a bad movie from the 90s. But we jumped the ghost ship, and we are now in the hallowed halls of horror hell. Good times. Oh, God. So it's crazy, guys. We got so many firsts going on here. This is the first show in the new network. It's the first show that's an hour and a half. We actually moved up a half hour. I have no idea. I hope to God we could talk and fill it. Heaven forbid. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think I could possibly fill a half an hour more with ramble?
You may make it.
It may be hard. I may be struggling, guys. I'm going to be choking on myself, but it'll be great. Good times. Good times. Or as Techie Ed would say, choking on limbs. Whatever. I don't know. He's busy humping something. I don't know. Anyway. Oh God, let's just get started. I'm insane. This is great. This is good stuff. So once again, you know, just insanity. And thanks everybody for switching over with us. You know, taking your Sunday nights and putting them on Wednesdays. Good stuff. I love all of you. For the people that don't know us, that are part of the Horror Movie Fans Network and have never heard us, let me just give you a brief like hello to let you know what we're doing here. We actually, we don't know what we're doing. We just sort of, I don't know, fell into this, picked up a mic, and I don't even know. I don't even know what's happening right now. I'm off my meds. I don't know. No, seriously, it's good stuff. We do a little bit of horror. Our subtitle says it all, Spooks, Horror, Fried Chicken, guys. We are like Return of the Living Dead, black humor, meat. I don't know, sort of giallo, sort of, I don't know, throw some Bill Cosby in there. I don't know. Just put stuff in there, and that's what we are, guys. We're like trauma with possibly some more blood. I don't know if that's possible. We complete it. But no, we talk about horror. We talk about paranormal. We talk about spirituality. You know, if the mood strikes me and I want to spend an hour talking about, I don't know, the migration pattern of moths in Sweden, that's what I'm going to talk about for an hour. Pretty much the point is, guys, we are here to entertain. We are here to make you laugh, to make you have a good time. If you learn something from us, good stuff. If not, I'm sorry. I have no idea why you're listening to us. But it's good stuff. We, you know, we've got a positive response, good times. We will miss Techie Ed, but Techie Yan, whatever, is trying to fill in, so good stuff. I'm sorry they placed death threats against you. It's a horrible thing. As you laugh, that's it. Why is it every sidekick I have, that's all they do? Like, I ask them a question, and they just chuckle and say, like, one word. Am I, like, overbearing? Am I intimidating? Am I intimidating or something? Like, every sidekick I have, I think the producers, who, you know, obviously chastise us every show that we do, I think the producers, like, are gung-ho. You know, they tell these sidekicks all these horror stories, like, if you look at her wrong, she'll slit your eyelid open, you know. They're just telling all these things, and the sidekicks they have coming through here are, like, crapping themselves. It's crazy. I don't know what's happening anymore. It's nuts. It's nuts. What's happening? There you go. It's good time. Oh, my God. Let me get on with this. I am rambling. I have no idea what's going on. I'm freaking out of my mind, people. I've been so busy setting up for the show, so busy trying to tie up loose ends, get everything together, and I don't even know. Halloween happened. That took up a huge chunk of my time because, you know, Gore Girl's always slamming in October. So it's crazy. It's crazy. But, you know, we got to bring the gorgasms, so the show must go on. Anyway, everybody, my God. our show is just going to be nuts. We moved up to in half an hour. It's going to be the same old stuff, horror, paranormal, spirituality. And yes, we're going to bring guests on in the future. And yes, we're going to go insane. You will hear our favorite segments again. You will hear Herb of the Week. You will hear Stone of the Week. You know, we'll bring back the Classic Movie Corner where I review classic movies that the majority of our audience has not seen. So good times, guys. And now we got even more of the horror fan base in here. So you guys are just going to have a ball. And if not, well, kiss my ass. But anyway,
can we have summer buns, too? Can we keep the summer buns?
I see you're picking up well. You're picking up. Did you think this was like, did they tell you, oh, yeah, you're going to fill in for like a Martha Stewart cooking hour? And then you come in here and they're like, yeah.
I was a little stunned.
You were a little stunned, shocked? Mm-hmm. Shocked is the more appropriate word. Anyway, guys, Guy Fawkes Day. I'm going to mention this real fast because I was excited that our first show is on Guy Fawkes Day. Holy crap. I mean, what better way to celebrate than to have the GG Hour blasting over airwaves, guys? We are the revolution. We are insane. And hell, we might get hung by the end of it. I don't know. It's all crazy. It's up for grabs. It's all crazy. But I don't know if any of you know Guy Fawkes. He was actually, it's actually a huge holiday, huge over in Britain or over by the Parliament, if so you speak. But it was actually, there was this conspiracy in 1605 on today's date, 1605. These English Roman Catholics had a plan that was actually called the Gunpowder Plot. They had this plan to blow up Parliament and to blow up the king because, you know, James I wasn't letting them, you know, wasn't giving them any religious freedom. You know, basically he was persecuting them because he was Protestant. So Robert Catesby, Guy Fawkes, they recruited a bunch of people. They had a plan to, like, blow up Parliament and all these buildings. So they put all these barrels of gunpowder in the cellar underneath the palace and everything. And eventually, of course, they told the wrong person who ratted them out, which if that ever happened to us, we would kill them, but that's okay. Anyway, so, you know, he was tortured. They caught him. They caught the gunpowder. He was tortured. The gunpowder plot was never executed, but the conspirators were. So at the time, they nominated it a holiday, because they figured we had saved the king, we had saved Parliament, Britain's intact, we thwarted terrorism. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Thwarted terrorism, everything's golden, everything's grand. Well, as years went on, the holiday took new meaning, because as, you know, things started to get revealed and Parliament started to change and the country itself started to change and people started to wake up from conformity, they realized, hey, we should celebrate this guy. We should celebrate the balls these guys had to back then stand up for what they believe in, to not back down, to be revolutionary, to fight the man and to fight, you know, this one singular thought that everybody is bred to believe. So Guy Fawkes, man, that's where he comes from. And I love this guy. I love this holiday. Everybody knows that little, I mean, I myself only really remember the first part, but everybody always remembers those, that little like jump rope song, you know, what was it? Remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I feel like jumping up and dancing like Little Miss Muffet or something when I hear that. It's so exciting. Most kids sing like Itsy Bitsy Spider or like, you know, I don't know, Barney songs. And here's me, treason, death, murder, sing it again, mother. I want to hear it. Scream it from the rooftops. Revolution. Yes. Yes. We're insane. But that's okay. I mean, you all knew this already. So anyway, Guy Fawkes Day. I'm excited. I mean, it's too bad that America doesn't really celebrate it. But hey, there is an American tie-in for this. So if you guys are kind of interested in that. But they actually, obviously we vote in November. It's always the first Tuesday of November that we vote for our president. Okay. Well, before that, it was not like this. So we just had sort of a willy-nilly system set up, and I just said willy-nilly.
That's frightening.
I've gone back, like, 800 years. It's all willy-nilly in here. It's all crazy. Look at what Guy Fawkes does to me. I'm a revolution. I can't even speak right.
Yeah,
it's okay. I am. I'm in 1845. Actually, I'm dressed as it right now. I'm dressed in 1845 garb. No, so anyway, the U.S. Congress guys actually chose the first Tuesday in November as the official date in 1845 that we would vote, that everybody, you know, that to make it fair, because there was so much chaos before that, people, you know, were bribing people, it was a whole crazy thing. So as far as the day of the week that was chosen, Sunday was ruled out because it was the Sabbath. And then they figured an election on Monday might require traveling on Sunday. So that was ruled out. So they figured Tuesday was good. They checked their Palm Pilots. Tuesday was great. What are you doing Tuesday? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. It's good times. Yeah, so I'm like, all right, whatever. But there is a theory that the U.S. Congress chose this date because this is the date where the terrorists tried to blow up the English Parliament. So the plot was stopped, and therefore democracy survived. Choosing November for elections, therefore, celebrates the ending of a plot to kill democracy. However, we now realize that's the opposite, but that's cool, whatever, nonetheless. So go Guy Fawkes. They actually do this huge celebration over in Britain. They have huge bonfires and fireworks, and, you know, they make little, like, figures of him, and they set him on fire. I mean, how awesome is that? I would love to be him. I want people to make figures of me and set them ablaze.
I'll burn you an effigy.
Would you burn me an effigy?
I'll burn you an effigy.
It's awesome. See, the new sidekick catches on quickly. Oh, my God, guys. Nuts stuff. Absolutely crazy. So we just had Halloween. We did this huge Halloween show like 2 weeks ago. We didn't have a show Sunday. So I'm going to have to pick up the Halloween vibe here. We had an awesome freaking month, man, for the show. We had Ed Neal from Texas Chainsaw Massacre on. We had freaking Tony Moran, the original Michael Myers, on. We had Circus Envy, the horror clown. We told you traditions. We told you lore. We told you craziness, ghost stories. Everything you could have possibly freaking wanted for your Halloween. We set you up with all sorts of horror movies and obscure horror movies that you needed to watch and to sit in your living room and basically take note of. So it was good times, good times. You know, I think I need a cup next to the mic so I could just drool into it. I need a spittoon.
I can get you.
Where's the producer? Can we organize a spittoon? Can I please vomit into something next to the mic? I'm so tired of this. They buy us flowers, but they don't buy us equipment. What are we going to do with the vase of flowers on the table, people? What are we going to do? I'm going to spit in them. I'm going to spit in the flowers. That's a good idea. Thank you, Techie Ann. I'm going to spit in the flowers. Oh, my God, guys. So Halloween. I don't know what you guys did. I hope you did something freaking crazy because we were nuts, all right? We had a huge bash, huge Halloween party. We had bands playing. We had freaking bonfire and food and alcohol. Of course you can't have a Halloween party with alcohol. I don't know when this happened, but okay. And then, of course, we had costume contests. It was nuts, guys. It was nuts. I turned around. There was a sea of people while the bands were playing. It was crazy. It was crazy. But I don't know what everybody did. I don't know. I didn't actually get to watch a horror movie on Halloween. That's like sacrilegious for me. I always at least watch some sort of horror type thing while Halloween is on. Unfortunately, I didn't get to do that. So I don't know. I guess since I do it 365 days a year, that might substitute it for the one day that I miss. Probably not. I guess I have to double up. It's okay. It's all right, though. But I do have to say, so let's talk a little bit about Halloween, all right? Because I didn't see you guys or actually hear you guys or speak. Actually, we don't even know if people are listening. We have no idea. I can't hear you. I mean, I can't see you. There could be, like, nobody listening. You know, my mother doesn't even listen half the time. So
you're talking to yourself.
Well, Techie Yad and I always say that we are talking to ourselves.
Kind of like every day.
We actually, it is every day when I talk in the mirror to myself. Yeah. So anyway, we just kind of go with this, right? We do the show. We don't even know what's happening anymore. And like I said, you'll have to excuse me for being totally off my rocker this show because it's been nuts, guys. Setting up, Halloween was crazy. Setting up for this show was nuts. I don't even know what's happening anymore, people. It's insane. It's all insanity. But anyway, Halloween, okay, TAPS obviously did an investigation in Fort Delaware. There was Halloween parties. You know, I just told you about our own. The feature band was Stories Revealed, who I collaborated with on the Gigi theme, which you guys heard earlier. It was awesome. It was awesome. But next year, oh, you better believe the Gigi Hour is going to be here. You better believe, because I had found out about something I actually didn't know about. Craziness that I have to attend. I need to be a part of this. I'm, like, itching. I'm dying. I need to be a part of this. First of all, in Colorado, there's the Emma Crawford Festival and Memorial Coffin Race. Right there should make you pack your bags, get on the damn plane, and go to Colorado next October. Because who wouldn't want to participate in a Memorial Coffin Race? Oh, my God. And I would trick mine out, too. I would totally have like a flag sticking up in the back like Pee Wee. I'd have a little bike bell. I'd do little like lightning stripes down the sides. Oh my God, guys, it would be awesome. I'd do like Tim the Toolman Taylor. I'd have power. I'd have this little like lawnmower thing in the back. Oh, it'd be crazy. It'd be crazy. And you could see Techie Yed and I like naked going down the mountain. It would be insane. It would be nuts. I don't even know why that image just flashed in my head, but I'm sure Techie Yed somewhere naked with corpses. So that's kind of what flashed in my mind.
Possibly with a coffin, too.
Do you know, he really doesn't have a chance because I make fun of him when he's not here, too. Yeah. So.
Poor, might as well just bag it now.
Poor kid. You're fired! Wait till I get to know you. Oh, the stakes are off. I'm just warning you. You may be replaced next week. Depends how well you perform later. So, Emma Crawford Festival Memorial Coffin Race. Do I even have to talk anymore? I mean, seriously, how cool is that? A coffin race. A freaking coffin race, people. Okay, who is Emma Crawford, and why are we having a coffin race for this girl? All right, first of all, she was this girl who died of tuberculosis, which I nearly had like 2 weeks ago, thanks to the wonderful city of Louisville, Kentucky. Anyway, so she died of tuberculosis near the end of the 19th century. They moved to, her and her family moved to Manitou Springs, which is where they were currently residing before she passed over. Passed on, passed over, passed a kidney stone, whatever it is you want to fill in. They moved, whichever, in the hopes that the actual mineral springs and the mountain air might cure her tuberculosis. I mean, they were trying anything back in the day, people. I talked to you. We did a whole show on Waverly Hills. I told you all the stories from when I went to Waverly Hills Sanatorium and ghost hunted there. It's just, it's insane the steps that they took and the procedures they did to try to cure tuberculosis. So, I mean, it's not far-fetched to think that her and her entire family picked up and completely moved somewhere just to see if it would cure her. Because, I mean, they were desperate back then, guys. We didn't have anything. They didn't have a cure. All we had was hope and people trying new things, crazy things to us nowadays, but back then it was revolutionary. That's the word of the day. That's the Pee-wee word. Every time I say revolutionary! That was the worst Pee-wee impression I've ever done, but okay, whatever. So anyway, so they go here, right? And, you know, she's suffering, and I guess a lot of people at the time had gone there, and they were spiritualists. So they believe that they had Native American spirit guides with them. So, I mean, that's cool. So it was said that Emma hiked to the top of Red Mountain, and she had a vision there. Supposedly, her spirit guide appeared near the summit, and she tied a scarf to a tree at that spot. So her dying wish was to be buried right where she tied the scarf because she had this, like, revolutionary, Native American image there, this vision there. You know, it was so touching to her. So she wanted to be buried on top of this mountain. So she was engaged to this guy who was a railroad engineer, and she ended up dying at the age of 19 on December 4th, 1891. So her fiancé and this team of, like, 12 other pallbearers made sure that she got her wish. Apparently it was illegal to do so, but who knows? I mean, apparently a lot of things are illegal, but we just don't give a crap over here. So the Gigi Studios promotes illegal activity, as we're kicked off horrormoviefans.com. So, and it was great talking to you guys. We've just been canceled. So, anyway, it took them 2 days to carry this coffin up to the top of the mountain, right? So, she's buried up there. You think that'd be the end of the story? No, no, no. We have to have a reason for a coffin race, guys. There's got to be a reason, all right? Follow me here. So, she's buried on top of this mountain. And it's a popular hiking spot for people, for spiritualists to go up there, you know, especially ever since the story or whatever. So, you know, people will go up there to try to communicate with her spirit. And apparently her grave was moved in 1912. Her coffin, I should say, was moved because the railroad was coming through there. Can I ask you what the hell the railroad is doing on the summit of a mountain building a railroad?
One would think that's a fine.
I would think that's not possible. But okay, apparently the railroad was crazy. So here we go, trying some crazy railroad type things with mountains, and apparently they could build tracks in the sky. It was cool. It was cool. So she relocated, or she didn't relocate, but people had relocated her grave to the southern slope of this mountain, right? So you're thinking this huge, massive mountain. Well, apparently, while this railroad was being built, it ended up, where she was buried was all granite. So it was eroding with all the storms and everything. So eventually her coffin became unearthed. And I don't know, what was she buried in, like a foot of dirt? Like, she was unearthed the next day. It was crazy. It was crazy. The rains came down and her coffin was carried away. Well, apparently her coffin slid down the mountain. Okay, just slid right on down the mountain, and like her bones were scattered everywhere. So hikers had found her, they picked her up, and they finally put her to a final resting spot. Actually, they put her to another place, and then I think she was moved again. But to this day, she's safe. She's in one spot, good times. But people say that her ghost, her spirit, lurks around the mountain because she's obviously ticked off that she's not in her initial spot where she had her dying wish to be buried. So people assume that, you know, her ghost haunted. There's been stories and legends and all sorts of things. But who cares about that? We're getting back to the important thing, racing stripes and helmets. So here we go. No. I love ghosts. It's all good. So, you know, anyway, the whole ghost story thing. But what ends up happening is there's this huge festival. This happened since 1994. So the city actually honors her with big festival, the parade and all sorts of stuff. So they have teams of 5 members, okay? One is a coffin rider, and there are 4 runners. Think of a bobsled team. I want to be part of the Jamaican coffin race team. I want to be the Jamaican coffin race team. I'm going to create an entire thing about me being part of this. I'm going to wear dreadlocks. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be insane. Yeah. I mean, this is insane. You have 1 coffin rider and 4 runners. I don't know. Good times. So anyway, so they get to compete in the race with obviously wheeled coffins, whatever, and they get points in creativity in designing the coffin and designing the outfits they wear while they go down the coffin, or go down the coffin, go down in the coffin. I don't know. It's a memorial coffin race. Fill in the blanks, people, okay? So they time down this thing, right? And it's just crazy. So apparently this is the huge draw of this, okay? And the coffin parade that follows the race, or they actually, like, it's before the race, is to show off the designs and the costumes of supposedly whoever's in the coffin has to dress like Emma, and the 4 runners have to dress like pallbearers. I want to be Emma so bad. We're going. We're GG Studios is getting a team. We're entering next year. I don't care, and I'm going to be Emma. It's going to be awesome. So anyway, they do this. I mean, there's tours, there's walking tours, there's bus tours, there's, you know, they have foot races. They have it's basically like a picnic. It's like a giant party for this Emma girl. I mean, it's crazy. They actually built an entire, like, Miramount castle that, I mean, it was built right after she, well, not right after, but a few years after she passed on, and it's supposed to be an example of, like, Victorian wake things, like how it was back then when you died. And we actually, some of my team and I that went to Savannah to do some ghost hunting, we actually went to, or was it Atlanta? Yeah, whatever.
Atlanta.
I've been to both of them. It's all good. So we went to Atlanta to do some ghost hunting, check out the city, whatever. We had a couple meetings down there. We went down there, and we actually got to see, they had this old plantation with docents in it. And we got to see him dress up, and they told us this whole Victorian wake story. And, you know, if you wore this shade of black, you're in this stage. I mean, I thought it was awesome. Of course, nobody else, you know, that came to Atlanta thought it was awesome. But I was like, oh, my God, this is great. This is incredible. We just thought it was awesome. But anyway, so they got something like that. They've got food. They've got beverages. There's the people running around dressed up like, you know, the priest back then. I mean, it's crazy. And then, of course, in this Victorian wake, there's actually Emma supposedly laid out to rest for those attending the wake. So I have to say, this girl has this awesome festival, this insane party, and it's like she didn't do anything, right? She died of tuberculosis. She was trying to find a cure. Just an average girl, 19 years old. And we have a coffin race to commemorate her every year. Who'd a thunk? I think Gigi needs a coffin race when I die. When I die. People dress up like me. And they go to, it would be crazy. It'd be crazy. It'd be like that Red Bull thing. Or was that Red Bull? Or what is that? That thing where they do the, oh, God, I'm going to kill myself for not knowing this. They do that. They make these things, like these, if I could talk, it'd be awesome. It'd be awesome if I could talk. But they build these floats, guys, and you know what I'm talking about, and they try to get them to fly, and they all land in water or whatever. It's like this Red Bull thing or something. I don't know, whatever. I'm probably completely off, but I don't know. I want something like that to happen. I want that to happen to me. So I don't know. Whatever. Good stuff. So apparently Colorado is notorious for this. I think I should move there because along with the festival for Emma, they have Frozen Dead Guy Days. Right there, guys, the title alone, Frozen Dead Guy Days. Apparently, the corpse of Brito Morstol has been in cryogenic stasis since he died in 89. His body is apparently housed in a shed in Nederland, Colorado. Okay. He was the first of what his grandson hoped would be many customers of a planned cryogenic facility. So his grandson ended up getting deported. Odd. Got deported, and Brito had to rely on his family and the kindness of others to keep his corpse in a cryogenic state. The shed housing his body kept getting blown apart. So a local radio station chipped in money and got it rebuilt and things like that. Well, anyway, every March, they have an event known as Frozen Dead Guy Days. The event features a parade, a coffin race. This apparently is a popular thing. I didn't know. A video festival, polar plunge in a frozen pond, tours. They do a toast in front of Grandpa's shed. I don't know. I think this is awesome. I think this is awesome, and I want to go so bad.
I think we should break into the storage shed.
See, the funny thing is, he would be right up Yed's alley.
I know he would.
So I think Yed is going to be... that's probably where Yed is on his way. He's stealing the grandpa to go do his nefarious necrophiliac deeds with him.
It would.
So anyway, they do this festival, and psychics are brought in to help grandpa give interviews to the media. I don't know. They put a slice of cake from his 101st birthday party in the freezer for him to enjoy if he was ever awoken from his stasis. So I don't really know what's happening over there, but apparently Colorado is a happening place to be. They've got corpses everywhere. It's good times. It's good times. But anyway, guys, I am rambling. I've got so much to say. I've just been talking. Like I said, you'll have to excuse me for being so off my rocker tonight because it is odd, guys. We're doing it on Wednesdays now. I'm used to doing it Sundays. We're an hour and a half. I'm used to an hour. I've got a new sidekick. It's all craziness. It's all up in the air, guys. So we're going to just go ahead and go to our first commercial break, which for you guys is some cool stuff, because since this is our election party, we are actually going to do somewhat election-themed commercials. So enjoy, scream at it, you know, bitch about whatever president you'd like to. It's all good. So have fun, guys.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Against it. He wants to go on testing more bombs. His name is Barry Goldwater. And if he's elected, they might start testing all over again.
Vote for President Johnson on November 3rd. The stakes are too high for you to stay home.
They're bombing! They're bombing everywhere, people! I love that freaking commercial. Children should have calcium, and they should not have strontium 90 or calcite phosphate exonified. What? That's awesome. That is my new, like, motto. Oh, my God, guys. So it's election, right? Right? I do have some horror news for you. In case you people thought that I forgot where my roots were, horror, guys, got some news for you. First of all, we have to say we did this whole big freaking Halloween episode. We, you know, talked all about how Halloween became, you know, All Hallows Eve, and the next day was All Saints Day, thanks to the church and all sorts of crap. We have to say a big freaking happy birthday to Betsy Palmer, the mom from Friday the 13th Part 1, people. Mrs. Voorhees herself. She is an accomplished actress. She's been in tons of things. She's a great lady, a funny person. We have to say hey, 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 because she turned 82 on Saturday. So, I don't know. I think the Gigi Studios owes her a round of applause because that's awesome. I love that woman. Have fun. Just whatever. I don't know what exactly Mrs. Voorhees would do on her birthday, but it's not for me to decide. So have fun with that woman. And I also have to say, Monday, this one is a special place for me, have to say another happy birthday to the master of splatter, apparently he's been labeled, the king of horror, the you know, one of the gods of special effects, Mr. Tom Savini, turned 62 years old Monday, guys. Tom Savini himself. Tom is you know, I wish him the best. I hope your birthday rocked, man. If we did a show Sunday, I would have wished you a happy birthday sooner, but unfortunately we switched over and we're a couple days late. But seriously, happy birthday, man. Tom Sweeney's a good friend of mine. He was a mentor of mine when I was working in effects. So, you know, a former teacher. So thanks, Tom. I will talk to you soon. I hope your birthday rocked. Anyway, for anybody that doesn't know Tom Savini, first you should be shot, then mutilated, and I'm sure we can round up a party to do that. Tom Savini actually, you know, tons of effects. The man is uber famous. He's done, he became popular for doing Romero's films, Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead. He basically invented, you know, some of the tricks that we take for granted today. You know, he did the popular Friday the 13th series, he did Creepshow. I mean, his list is endless. You know, he's recently got out of effects to start a acting career. I will not make a snide remark. I will hold myself. He's pursuing acting. So I wish him well with that, but he will always be the effects guy. He will always be the number one. He will always be one of the biggest guys to impact the field. So totally, totally happy birthday, Tom. Good luck with the acting. Good times. Just kidding. He's going to kick my ass. Good times. Good times. Anyway, I do have some sad news before we really get into some exciting stuff. I have some super sad news, guys. It was reported a couple days ago that Forrest Ackerman is likely to pass away soon. Apparently he's super ill and he's probably doesn't have much longer to go. There is a mailing address for him if people want to send well wishes and things like that or send letters or things. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. But anybody that doesn't know who Forrest Ackerman is, and I'm going to try not to tear up when I talk about him, the man is classic. The man is legendary. This is such a shame that the horror community would lose him because, guys, we don't have much of our roots left. We don't have many of our original guys left. You know, everybody is passing on, of course, because our horror roots go back almost over 100 years. So, you know, it just goes without saying. But Forrest Ackerman was he's one of the biggest sci-fi movie memorabilia guys around. He is notorious for being the editor and writer of the magazine Famous Monsters of Filmland, which I can tell you, when I was a kid, Famous Monsters of Filmland meant everything to me, because that was the roots of horror. That was Elsa. That was Rains. That was Chaney Jr. That was, you know, Universal. That was the old horror. That was the 1940s, the 1950s. Famous Monsters of Filmland is our roots. Famous Monsters of Filmland, to me, still kicks Fangoria's ass. I will take Famous Monsters of Filmland any day over it. I do love Fango. I love Rue Morgue. You know, I love all these new splatter mags out. But Famous Monsters of Filmland is the granddaddy. It is the godfather. It is the absolute utmost number one horror mag that you can get your hands on. These are our roots, guys. We can't ignore it. And he was an awesome guy. He had just about every collectible under the sun. I mean, the man did everything. He wrote, he edited, there was comic book affiliations. There was, just the things he did in the film industry alone were astounding. I mean, the man went so far, he's done so much that he's even an honorary lesbian. I know. It's insane. The man has done everything. He actually wrote several lesbian novels under the name Laura Jean Ermaine and was dubbed an honorary lesbian. How many horror people do you know have that title? I don't know anybody that has that title. That's insane, but it's funny because it's Forrest J. Ackerman. He is just, wow. I mean, he kickstarted sci-fi. You know, he gave it a place. He gave it a home. He got America used to it. He gave us what we craved. And I just think that's awesome, guys. I think that is so stellar. And I'm actually trying really hard not to tear up, because that man has been an idol. He's a legend. He has basically, we would not know. I mean, there's a lot of other contributors to horror, but we would not know a lot, or we would not be as advanced as we were if it wasn't for some of his contributions. So I really do think we should take a moment to really appreciate him. Go check him up. Go look on, I'm sure there's websites about him. I'm sure you could get info if you're more interested. Head over to Famous Monsters of Filmland. Check them out. They're a great magazine. I totally support them. Good stuff. I don't know. I hope it's not true. I hope we have him around for a little bit longer. But, if it's his time, it's his time. Go into that great silent film reel in the sky, so to speak. So good times with that. And then I wish you well, man. And if you do pass on, the GG Studios loves you. And we thank you for everything that you have done for the horror community. I'm geared up. My God. Ah. So anyway, that was our sad news for the day, guys. And I know, we don't like to hear that stuff. But hey, we got to show tribute. We got to pay respects. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, let's get on to the good stuff, okay? And I know my tech girl Yan over here is freaking out with excitement over this segment, guys. Because, okay, it was election day yesterday. We have a new president. We have a president, Barack Obama. So I don't know. We're going to spend a few minutes talking about our personal views on the election, what happened, what transpired. And then I'm going to give you guys a special segment of election-related info, the usual ghosts, macabre things, awesome stuff. But first of all, let's talk about this election, okay? Because I am Gore Girl, and I'll talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about. So if I don't want to talk about a horror movie right now, and I want to talk about the election, that's what I'm going to talk about. But, of course, you can bet it's with our own brand of sadistic humor. So, anyway, we get this new president, right? And I don't know, guys. It's just, this election day was insane because it was everywhere. It was rampant. And, hark, Oh, my God. Well, hail to the chief, guys. That was for our new president, Barack. But, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, okay? Techie Yan is shaking her head. She is cackling. So let's go from this perspective right now. Let's get down to the thing, okay? All I can say is, as far as vice presidents go, Joe and Sarah, they were schmucks. Seriously, what? Neither one of them. I mean, vice president nowadays is kind of like nobody cares. You just put somebody in there because nobody really gives a crap who it was. I mean, if you have somebody with personality, or somebody that's like evil incarnate, like Dick Cheney, or like I was saying, with personality was like. Okay, well, anyway, that pause kind of clarified that. But anyway, we know Dick Cheney because he's evil incarnate. And He's building an empire towards a one-world government. Thank you, Mr. Cheney. As I see the Secret Service rushing onto my lawn right now.
What a helicopter?
Is that Dick Cheney in a rifle? What? I'm not wearing orange, I swear. So it's just cheap joke, cheap shot. I don't know. I don't even really give a crap about the vice president. But all I could say is what's all this garbage that I've heard about Sarah Palin was like the hope for women? Really? What? As there is now two women in the studios, because Techie Ed's no longer here, even though sometimes he substituted as a good woman. Can't keep a good woman down. So anyway, what was with the Sarah Palin being the number one choice for women? First of all, if the girl could form a coherent sentence, I'd be happy. It was like there was more cotton candy in her brain than, I don't know, than circus envy devours. It was insane, guys. It was nuts. So I just kind of laugh about this whole thing. But first of all, I do have to clarify something. This is an important thing that I have to clarify to everybody. First of all, Tina Fey did her impersonation of Palin and Palin vice versa. All I have to say is Tina Fey is hot. Sarah Palin is not. Okay, let's just clarify it right now. I know they look similar, but personality adds a lot, guys. So we're just going to clarify that. That's for everybody out there that, you know, was questioning if they were insane because they thought Tina Fey was hot. If perhaps something was wrong with them because Palin looked similar. No, you are safe. Tina hot, Palin not. Good times. So I'm glad we clarified that. Woo! That was like a weight off my chest. Everybody, that was crazy. That was the number one topic of the election. It was nuts. It was nuts, guys. So anyway, here we go. We got Obama and we got McCain, right? I have to say, okay, I did not vote yesterday, and it was more a laziness factor on my part. I actually missed the registration date, so I didn't get a chance to register. I was like, what, 2 weeks off of registering? I was like, hey, when's that date I got to register by? Yeah, it passed like a week ago. So, oh, okay. So, yeah, I didn't get to vote. But if I would have voted, guys, I will tell you, I will be honest, and I don't care what anybody says, I would have voted for neither one of them. I don't really feel that we're getting a win-win situation out of anything. I wasn't for McCain. I wasn't for Obama. They were both just sort of button heads. And I know that, like, the last 20 elections we've had with presidents have been pick the lesser of two evils. But I couldn't even wrap my brain around picking either one of them. If I could have voted, I would have checked a special box, and I would have voted Wednesday the 13th style. I would have elected death for president. Elect death. Death for president. Elect death. Death for president. Red, yellow, black, or white. Doesn't matter because everybody dies. That's what I would have picked, guys. I would have picked freedom in Mr. Grim Reaper himself. But that's a little shout out to Wednesday 13th. Those guys are funny. But really, I don't know what I would have done had I would have been forced to vote either way. I don't really know what I would have done. First of all, I guess I would have been swayed more towards Democrat. I don't know. Because, see, you hear all these people say, oh, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. I am so, like, retarded about this because I do not affiliate with a party. I say whichever guy at the time I get and I'm totally down with, I'm going to vote that way. That's cool. So I base it on the person, on their particular policies, because if you notice nowadays, what were you saying? You and your friend you're Republican and he's Democratic and you guys have the same views and you both think your parties are retarded.
Yeah. We're both technically libertarians, but we just don't have a good candidate.
There you go. And nobody, God's sakes, nobody votes for Ralph Nader. Okay. Poor guy. He's going to still be going until he's like, what, 1,000 years old?
He'll be propping him up, wheeling him in while he's dead.
He's going to still be on the ballot. Nobody will even know. They'll be like, Ralph Nader, who's this guy? Oh, he died like 200 years ago, but we can't take his name off the ballot.
2235 election. Who's Ralph Nader?
I don't know. Just check the box. It's between a robot and a tin can. Just take the damn box. So I don't know, guys. I don't affiliate with a party because I go with whoever's views what fit closer to what my views are, whatever. And, of course, we're never going to have a candidate that totally fits our views on things, of course. You know, that's, like, impossible to have somebody normal. So, anyway, I don't know. But honestly, I'm going to get in a little debate with you, Techie Ann, because I'm not going to give away who you voted for, even though it's obvious what party you are. But I wasn't down with McCain. Like, he just seems very Dick Cheney-ish. He seems – I'm not saying he's evil incarnate. I wasn't down for McCain because, first of all, there's a couple issues that I look for to see which way they vote, and mine was the abortion issue and the gay rights issue. And, because I am totally, guys, I believe everybody is created equal. And until somebody steps up and agrees that everybody is created equal, no ifs, ands, or buts, I mean, that's my biggest issue. Yes, of course, poverty, world hunger, things like this. But as far as is the menial issues that we have on the U.S. soil, the issues, I'm sorry, that they actually bother to pay attention to, which to me, gay marriage is a ridiculous thing to pay attention to when we have poverty, we have homeless people, we have, you know, children suffering in school, we have rape, we have crime. I mean, this to me, these are, I don't understand why our politicians discuss stupid issues. Yes, let's talk about gay marriage. Why don't you talk about the kids? I mean, I don't even know why gay marriage is an issue, first of all, because I believe in everybody is created equal. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. There is no I'm better than you. We are the same freaking species, people, okay? There is no difference. We're all human. We all bleed. We all cry. We all sweat. So I'm sorry, but if you know, my gay friends want to get married, let them. What the hell is the matter? I don't understand. And where's my clapping? I should have unanimous clapping from the bleachers. But really, if they want to get married, who's to say? Who cares? Why is this even an issue? I don't know. Maybe I'm retarded, but I just think that this should have been decided 200 years ago. Like, oh, wait, we're all equal. Okay, cool. No, we're still arguing about it. This is how retarded we are. This is how mind warped and messed up people are, that they follow stupid ass beliefs. So, you're less than me because you like purple and I like red. What? Screw this. So anyway, those are my issues, is the equality issue and abortion. And what the hell is his name? McCain? That guy! What's that red guy? He was on the red state, which I think is a stupid thing too, that map, red and blue. I'm like, how would I shove it up your ass? And then you tell me what color it comes out. Yeah, there you go. Take the red and blue and just shove it right up there with no Vaseline. So anyway, I'm like weird tonight. I'm so weird tonight. This is totally like a different show. But anyway, whatever. So my thing with it is the abortion and the equality, because he has stated that as far as equality, he says it's man and woman, and that's it. He will not budge. And on the abortion, he I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, call me out on it. For people who have not listened to the show before, anytime Gore goes wrong, call me out on it. This is what the show is for. It's about truth. It's about, you know, freaking calling things out and you know, just living and being free. And, you know, if I'm wrong, go ahead. But, you know, if you better back yourself up. That's all I'm saying. Don't come to me with stupid issues if you can't back yourself up. So anyway, that was my two things. And, I, you know, obviously everybody has different issues, whatever. But my thing with Obama is this. This is the reason I cannot tolerate to vote for him, is the wealth distribution that you have been talking about, everybody's been talking about. This bothers me, the wealth distribution. If he would just forget this and, like, never talk about it again and never try to make it happen, I'd be okay. I'd be like, okay, cool, Obama, whatever, I don't give a crap. But this wealth distribution, this is communism, guys. The government is going to tell you where your money's going to go after you hit a certain point. Hello, that's communism in not so nice enough terms. It is, guys, and I don't understand that. What if, I mean, let me put it this way, because I know people have examples for this. My thing with this is this. If some guy is working their ass off, working really hard, and they hit that point that Obama says, oh, we're going to start taking your money and giving it back, okay, when they have to, let's say they're working their butt off, and that year alone, they just happen to make that amount of money. Do I want this guy, or does this guy, let's say it's you out there, sitting out there listening to me right now. Let's say you happen to make this amount of money. Something miraculous happens to you. You get a kick-ass job. You win the lot. Whatever. Whatever happens that you get this money. Do you want me to be able to take your money away from you? Do you want Obama to go, hey, yeah, your money, you hit this point. Okay, I'm going to give your money to Gore Girl because she didn't work that much and she didn't make as much as you, so she should go ahead and get your money. Are you going to be pissed at me? Or you're going to be pissed at the government because you voted for it. So that's my only issue with Obama is wealth distribution. I don't want my mother, who has slaved her entire life, I don't want her money going to somebody that some white trailer trash guy that smokes crack or sells it to kids and he doesn't work. But Obama says, hey, it's wealth distribution. So you get part of Gore Girl's mom's money. My mom works way too hard. We were not rich growing up. We were middle class, barely. My mother had to slave away and work so many hours to just make sure we had food on the table. Do I want some jackass that's giving drugs to kids to get that money from my mom? Yep. And be like, oh, well, it's okay because it's wealth distribution. Yep. What? How is this not communism? So that's my problem with Obama. If I'm wrong, if there's an example I'm missing, somebody explain this to me. I'm totally geared to hear it. But, I mean, that's what my problem with him. But, honestly, if I had to just sit here, if we took wealth distribution off the table right now and just said it never existed, Obama never said it, I would vote for Obama because I have too many problems with McCain. But I'm not Democratic. I'm not Republican. I'm just going on things. So you have a face. Go ahead, Techie Ann. Go ahead.
I have a face.
Well,
I have a face. I don't know why you have a problem with McCain. I mean, traditionally Republicans have gone for less government. Whenever you have Democrats in control, it's more government, more invasiveness into our privacy, taking money, making determinations on what kind of health care you're going to have. See, yeah, I'm working. I want to make those decisions for myself, decide what kind of health care I'm going to have, and the wealth redistribution thing that just sends me through the roof.
Well, that's the only thing I have a problem with is the wealth distribution, redistribute, whatever, that thing. I have a problem with that. But
I see who he is.
I see your point. I see your point, though.
He has communist leanings. By him going for that, that shows you he's got communist leanings. I'd go move to Russia if I wanted to live like that.
Techie Ann will never be a part of the show again because he's moving to Russia. Hey, no, it's cool because everybody is entitled to their opinions, guys. You know, Techie Ann has her opinions. Techie Ed has his. I have mine. Everybody's got opinions. It's all good. It doesn't make anybody less than anybody else. That's the important thing. However, it makes you more awesome because you're listening to the Gore Girl Variety Hour on Wednesday nights. That automatically makes you better than everybody else because you're listening to the awesome people. So there you go, guys. There you go. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break because I'm so not used to this. See, we got to get a synergy down now. We got to, like, redistribute the show because we got an extra half hour. Me and Techie Yet are so used to flying through our hour. So we're reorganizing, figuring things out. I've got another commercial break to cover. This is insane, guys. This is insane. But you know what? I've said this from the beginning of our show. You're learning right along with us, guys, because we're learning tech stuff. We're learning how to get this to run and make this happen, the politics of radio. So you're learning right along with us. We're going to be adding segment music when we start talking about our horror movie segments and our segments about Herb of the Week, Stone of the Week, you know, our ghost segments. We're going to have new music. We're having Sanity. It's going to be nuts, guys. So you're learning right along with us. So just hang on because I swear to God, who else makes you smile other than Gigi? Stick around. Oh my God, I just dropped my pen. It's insane. It's insanity.
Everybody likes Biden for president. Play out the banner and beat the drum. Virginia. Another articulate spokesman defines liberalism as meeting the material needs of the masses through the full power of centralized government. But I, for one, resent it when a representative of the people refers to you and me, the free men and women of this country, as the masses. This is a term we haven't applied to ourselves in America. But beyond that, the full power of centralized government, this was the very thing the founding fathers sought to minimize. They knew that governments don't control things. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose.
Wow. Well, I don't know. We had some tech problems there with that, but that was actually that last quote was Reagan, who gave this great line about, you know, having more centralized government means that, you know, obviously they can't control things. They can't control this or that. They can control people. And how do they do that? Force and coercion. So I thought that was pretty cool. But, yeah, we've had – I found all sorts of cool little, like, you know, electoral songs like Ike for President or Kennedy. I mean, this was like – Kennedy's freaking campaign thing was like a – what was that? Schoolhouse Rock thing. It was like, Kennedy, Kennedy. I'm like, what? Okay, that's cool. So I thought that was crazy, guys. But you know what? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. We've got – some paranormal stuff associated with our presidents, all right? So let's get right into this because I got 20-something minutes. I can't even believe we went through – I've been yapping this whole time. I don't even know what's going on. I don't even know what's happening. Just stick with us, guys. But, all right, we got to talk about this. Obviously, everybody knows the White House, okay? Abraham Lincoln? I can no longer speak. I am being intimidated by mobster birds. It happens every week, guys. I miss say something because I'm talking so fast and I'm so hyper that like, seriously, I screw up words as I go. Well, whatever. Let's move on. So anyway, this is the President Winklin. I'm hunting Wabbit. So this is our little ghost segment. This is, of course, we got to bring this around. We talked about election crap. So we got to bring this back around. Of course, I said I would elect death for president.
Preferable to what we have now.
No, seriously, I wish him the best of luck. I wish you, President Obama, the best of luck. And unlike Techie Yan, she was for McCain. I would have picked Obama. I don't know, because lesser of two evils, I guess. But I really don't like either one of them. I think we're getting screwed either way. I don't really like anything Obama stands for, and I don't really like McCain. So I don't know, guys. We're screwed because Gore Girl would have voted for herself because I really wouldn't have voted for either one of them. But no, I wish him the best of luck because as the country stands as is now, I do not envy him stepping into that position. I do not envy him. He's got a mess ahead of him. So good luck with that. I don't know. We'll all be sleeping. Let us know if you need help. So anyway, moving on. Anyway, our presidential thing would not be complete without ghosts. Abraham Lincoln. Oh my God, I did it again. I cannot say his name. Lincoln. Lincoln Logs. Lincoln Pancakes. Lincoln. Anyway, Lincoln Cars. So Abraham Lincoln is the most frequent ghostly visitor to the White House. Apparently, the Queen of the Netherlands was staying in the Lincoln. Oh my God, I'm gonna freak out if I can't get through this. She was staying in the Lincoln room on the second floor when she heard a knock on the door. So she opens the door and she saw his ghost and fainted. A secretary said she saw Abe donning his boots while he sat on the bed. Eleanor Roosevelt herself, Theodore Roosevelt, Carl Sandburg, and others sensed his presence. And actually, I don't know if anybody knew this, but Nixon, when he was actually going through the Watergate scandal, he actually sat in Lincoln's room all the time and prayed at the table that supposedly Lincoln, you know, populated around. He prayed for Lincoln to help him through. And that's kind of odd considering that Abe was supposed to be honest Abe, and Nixon basically, like, ruined himself. You know, so it was kind of interesting, but Nixon had said he was doing what's best for the country, and isn't that what Abe would have wanted? So Nixon had told people that it was actually the spirit of Lincoln that led him through that crisis. And, I mean, you know, just Lincoln supposedly appears during times of crisis. World War II, they said they saw him everywhere. So I guess, is Honest Abe still running our country? Perhaps he should take over now.
Now might be a good time
for him to step up to plate. Lillian Parks was actually getting the Lincoln Room in order after it had been painted. She supposedly heard footsteps going towards the door, so she couldn't see anyone. She went out and found another employee. She asked him why he was stomping around the corridor. He replied they just started to work that day and had not been on the second floor. Then he added that she must have heard Lincoln's ghost. I mean, obviously a casual thing. Oh, yeah, it was just Abe. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, I don't know. The Queen of the Netherlands, that would have freaked me out. You open the door and there's Abe Lincoln standing there. And then he, like, disappears and you faint. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. I would be like, oh, my God. I would have crapped myself. I would have wanted, you know, the professional ghost hunter response. Hold on, let me get my camera. Hold on, let me get my video recorder and talk to you. No, I would have crapped myself. See, I don't know. The ghost hunting community is laughing at me right now, but you know you would have too. I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm not even going to mention names, but all these people. Yeah, and the ghost community. Yeah, you know. Paranormal community isn't as brave. I don't know. They're saying death threats to me. I don't know. Some people are brave, like Ghost Man. I love you, Sean B. Ghostman from the international radio show I do on Sunday nights, the Ghostman Demon Hunter show. Awesome, awesome, awesome show. So definitely check them out. Anyway, Abigail Adams is supposedly another haunter. And apparently somebody earlier today, there was a question or something that said, who is John Adams' wife or something? And they said, like, Betsy Ross. And I was like, doesn't the Adams kind of tip you off that it might be Abigail Adams? Hey, whatever. So John Adams was the first president to actually live in the White House. So it was, you know, really damp and drafty and things like that, with the exception of the East Room where, you know, his wife would hang her wash. So supposedly her spirit has been sighted scurrying to the East Room with arms full of laundry. I don't know. It sounds like a free-for-all at the White House. You got Abe Lincoln walk around. You got, you know, Abigail running through her clothes. Sounds like a free-for-all.
Too many people living there.
Too many people in one roof. Dolly Madison Spector's been seen. She planted the original Rose Garden. It's been said that when Mrs. Wilson decided to remove the garden, that Dolly appeared to the workmen dismantling it, and basically they fled out of fear, and that the Rose Garden remains to this day. You know what, Wilson? I don't know. You sound like a bitch removing the Rose Garden. That's all I'm saying. Andrew Jackson is supposedly there. Mary Todd Lincoln and others have heard him swearing and stomping about in his boots in the Rose Room, which he used as his bedroom and in the halls. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. I'd freak out. I'd probably freak out. I'd be excited because, you know, I'm a ghost hunter, so I'd be all over that. But I'd be like, ah! I'd be simultaneously crying and taping. I don't
crying
know.
And crapping.
I would. It'd be crazy. David Burns, who supposedly donated the land the White House was built on, people hear him. I didn't even know this guy existed until I did the research on this. Anyway, FDR's valet, of course, you can't get a more credible source than the guy that drives his car, heard a voice calling him and said it was Mr. Burns. So apparently a guard that was there heard a voice declare it was Mr. Burns. And I guess one of the panel members at the time, Secretary of State, was James Burns, so he thought it was him. Then he found out later that James Burns was nowhere near the building that day. William Lincoln was one of Abe's kids, and he died while his father was president. So during Grant's administration, his ghost was seen. I don't get it. I don't know. It's crazy stuff. See, it's cool, though, because people don't realize this. Like the Amityville Horror House, you know, the families that lived before, well, besides the one that was brutally murdered, supposedly nothing happened there. Well, then, you know, the Lutzes move in. They have all this crazy stuff happen to them. Ever since they moved out, the families that have lived there since have not reported anything happening. And it's due to people don't realize that it's not just, oh, well, here's a ghost. It's just going to be here. You know, it's a lot of it is due to energy. We are all energy. We all, you know, excrete energy. We all, you know, intake energy. We affect energy. Everything around us is energy fields in essence. And so, I mean, if you think about it this way, if you have high emotion, if you're high, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, if you're tuned in, you know, if you're on a higher vibe than other people, if you're rattling more energy, wouldn't that cause you to think that you're attracting more things?
Yeah.
So perhaps the Lutzes, you know, perhaps one of the kids or perhaps all of them together had this unique energy that they just sort of attracted other energy. I'm not saying that the Lesses were bad and deserved it by no means. I'm just saying that perhaps that particular house lay dormant. And at that particular time, the energy was correct and it opened them up. I don't know. There's tons of theories, tons of theories. And that's one cool thing about the ghost hunting community is that you can basically say whatever you want. Because, I mean, it's all theory, you know? I mean, we prove certain things, but there's a lot of it that we're trying to prove still. So you have a face.
I do have a face. Don't they say that teenage girls in particular will stir up activity?
Yeah, because it's all the hormones and emotion and everything that they cause turbulence. A lot of people say they cause poltergeists and stuff like that. One of my favorite people of all time, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who we're going to have to get on the show because I love that woman, she actually wrote, she did the Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits. She wrote that Lincoln had an interest in spiritualism, which, you know, most people knew. His wife especially was deeply interested in it. You say she's crazy. I just think she's like most of us are into it. So after the death of her son, Willie, you know, Lincoln held seances to try to contact the boy's spirit. It's kind of like a Houdini thing, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, the wife kept trying to contact Houdini. That was crazy. That was good times right there. I actually heard the last tape of the actual seance that Houdini's wife did on top of the building in L.A.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. That's creepy. And my good friend Bonnie Jo from Ghostly Talk also heard that with me. We had good times on that night. Not in that way, people. Moving on. Anyway. So while Lincoln was president, he had seances given by famous mediums like Cora Maynard, Nettie Colburn. I mean, these people that we know. Of course, they claimed credit for the Emancipation Proclamation, which they had every right to. Because, hey, you know, they're around. Why not try to pick up some fame here or there? Anyway, Lincoln, supposedly Maynard said that Lincoln wrote the proclamation with the help of her spirits. Okay, whatever. And Colbert claimed that she went into a trance and informed him that the Civil War would not be over until the slaves were freed. Sure. Either one, whatever. You know, give them their chance. They wanted 15 minutes of fame. Anyway, this is the cool thing, guys. This is the thing that I really thought. I didn't know. I didn't know this before, and I was a big Lincoln buff. I loved him to death. I loved his speeches. I loved everything about the man. I didn't know this, guys. But apparently, before his 1860 reelection, he saw his own vision in mirrors. He saw two images of himself. One was very pale and disappeared when he looked at it. And his wife believed that was a sign he would not survive a second term. 10 days before his assassination, he had a precognitive dream, which he actually wrote down. He fell asleep and started to dream, and he felt sort of uneasy. He heard sobbing, and he imagined that he arose from bed and walked downstairs. He wandered from one room to another, yet he saw no one, but he kept hearing the weeping. So when he reached the east room, he saw a body on top of, what would I guess be the showpiece for a coffin. He saw a body and he saw soldiers stationed around it as guards. There were many mourners in the room. They were looking at the body, but the face was covered. When he asked one of the soldiers who was laying there, the reply was that the president had been assassinated. A loud expression of grief from the throng woke him up, and he said he was annoyed by the dream. 10 days before his assassination, he dreamt his own death. And his face would be covered. Why? Because he got shot in the head. My God. I mean, people don't realize the power of spirituality in these dreams. And I mean, you know, we all possess the power for psychic ability. We all possess something, you know. We've done past shows about psychic ability. You know, we're going to have psychics on in the future. But seriously, I mean, even like people say, oh, yeah, I'm not psychic in any way. Yeah, what about when you feel something and you have a gut feeling? Oh, it's just my gut telling me. Yeah, what do you think that is? You know, that's some sort of psychic inclination that you should or should not do something. So people use all sorts of normalcy to try to explain away, but it is in some way or another sort of a psychic ability. So yes, everybody's doing it. You're doing it to this day. When you put things out to the universe, you got it back, that type of jive. So anyway, the night before his assassination, Lincoln had told a member of his cabinet about the dream. The day of the tragedy, he told his bodyguard that he dreamt about it 3 nights in a row. His bodyguard begged him not to go to the Ford Theater, but he promised his wife they would attend. First of all, I'd tell the bitch, back up. I ain't going. Kiss my ass. Watch it yourself. I ain't going. That's what I would do. But anyway, when the Lincolns left for the theater, he actually said goodbye to his bodyguard, not the usual good night. So that, you know, obviously the rest is history. Good times. He knew. But I just thought, wow. I don't even know. What would have happened? What would happen if it swayed the other way? What would happen if he told his wife, I don't think we should go because of these dreams I had? Or the wife said, you know what? To play it on the safe side, we should just not go tonight. What would history have been like?
Completely different.
History, the world as we know it, would have been completely different. And people don't realize, what if one tiny thing in history was changed? The world as we know it would not be the same because something, you know, would have been effed up along the way. So I don't know. It's just, it's mind-blowing to think, what if Lincoln would have survived? God knows what would have happened. So it's just, it's interesting. But
Kennedy knows something was coming to, I think I remember reading something about John Kennedy.
I actually have something I'm going to read to you in a second that I actually found out it was a curse that was placed upon the presidents of America. So I thought that was kind of cool. But anyway, there's this paranormal expert, Joel Martin, who actually wrote a book, The Haunting of the Presidents. And it's basically telling you what I told you, where Lincoln, you know, appeared during World War II. He's seen, you know, with all the presidents, and he's seen, you know, in times of strife and hardship or whatever. Well, anyway, the assassination of Lincoln may have been part of a 20-year curse that was originally placed on William Henry Harrison, who died during his term in the White House in 1841. Because Harrison earlier angered some American Indians, Tecumseh's brother, I hope I got this right, Tengsawatawa, who was nicknamed the Prophet, allegedly made a curse that a great white leader will die every 20 years. The curse seemed to hold up because, you know, presidents that were elected in 20-year cycles ending with zero, such as 1860, 1960. But people think it finally ended with President Reagan, who was elected in 1980. However, didn't Reagan survive an assassination attempt? So he still was supposed to die. Exactly. If Brady wasn't standing there, he would have died and the curse would have continued. So they speculated that Nancy Reagan, she consulted with an astrologer and things like that, may have averted a tragedy, may have thrown off this curse. Aren't you getting chills? That's crazy. This Native American that we pissed off years ago placed a bounty on everybody's head. Look what happened. Almost consecutively, every president was killed during some form or another. It was crazy. Wow. And I mean, okay, President James Garfield, he actually died from complications from a bullet wound during his first year in the White House. I mean, people say that he was spotted at the Capitol building where his body laid in state. They said that Garfield was believed to have psychic powers and may have had a premonition of his own death. All these presidents having premonitions of their death. 2 days before he was shot, he sent for his Secretary of War, who was Abraham Lincoln's son, and asked him to recount his memories regarding the assassination of his father. Come on now. Oh. My God. You're freaking out, aren't you? So, and then of course I have to add this, this doesn't have anything to do with assassination, but there was a UFO blunder. Speaking of weird things that happened during the presidency, President Jimmy Carter reported a UFO sighting in January of 1969. It was the planet Venus. It was a misidentification. But this is just to show you the weird things that have surrounded the presidency. Then this, I thought this was awesome, guys. The strangest election in history. It goes down to the election of 1872. You thought it would have been yesterday, or perhaps any election that a Bush was in. But no, as the Republican snarls at me. No, it was actually the 1872 election. And this is what I'm telling you guys. This is just weird stuff that surrounds the presidency. All is insanity. But Republican incumbent Ulysses S. Grant was sullied by a series of sort of corruption scandals. And it showed the general incompetence of his administration. Nevertheless, he won the Republican nomination. However, a dissatisfied faction of the Republican Party, they broke off and they formed the new Liberal Republican Party. They nominated, supported, whatever you want to call it, Greeley, who was a one-time Grant supporter. He was a socialist idealist who was basically made fun of because of his appearance. He was very frumpy and he had eccentric mannerisms, but he was the editor of the Tribune, the New York Trib, New York Tribune. I'm like, does that even make sense? Yeah, I'm from Chicago. Chicago Tribune just makes more sense. Anyway, so he was the editor. I mean, he's the man that actually made news, the word news, plural. He once cabled a Tribune reporter, are there any news? And the employee cabled back, not a new. So Greeley actually, you know, was credited with that. And, I mean, he had a very elaborate editorial career. But anyway, he won the nomination of the Liberal Republican Party. And his running mate was a Benjamin Grath Brown, which didn't help the campaign much like Sarah Palin, because he drank heavily throughout and he made a bunch of mistakes, like just funny stuff that showed how dim-witted he was, such as trying to cook a watermelon at a public picnic. So, I mean, he didn't really boost the ticket. But anyway, the Democrats had no alternative, so they also nominated Greeley and Brown. So you have the Liberal Republican Party and the Democrats nominating the same people. Then the Republican Party had Ulysses S. Grant. This opened a floodgate, okay? Then we had free-thinking suffragette Victoria Woodhull, although she herself couldn't vote at the time because the women couldn't vote, and her running mate was a former slave, Frederick Douglass. They ran, okay? Then you had Berman Democrat Charles O'Connor and Prohibition Party James Black running. Then you had millionaire George Francis Train, who was this eccentric shipping magnate and world traveler, and he was supposedly an inspiration for Jules Verne's Around the World in 80 Days. He ran as an independent, and he promised to make himself dictator if elected. He actually charged admission fees to his speeches and became the only candidate to turn a profit from his candidacy. It was insane. All these people were running. And I mean, just nuts. Anyway, Greeley ended up being crushed by Grant in the polls. His mental, physical health drained. He eventually, you know, died 3 weeks after the election, and, you know, he lost, you know, all his support, things like that. So Ulysses S. Grant was elected to a second term as president in what has been the strangest election of all time. But let me put it to you this way, guys. We keep saying that history is made. History is made. Barack Obama is the first African-American president. True, he is. But I have heard people say, in falsehood, he's the first African-American to go for the White House. Obviously, he is not, because Frederick Douglass ran as vice president way back in the day. So obviously, African-American history, those people that have been misreading it, that's a correction right there. And obviously, I'm a big feminist follower, and obviously, I've been wrong. Because, you know, everyone's saying Sarah Palin's, you know, Hillary and Sarah were the only ones to run and be close to the White House. Actually, Victoria Woodhull run. So, I mean, She runned quick. So a little piece of African-American history, a little piece of women rights history is that we actually had runners way back in the day. We just, a lot of people don't know about it. So that's a little something to take in and to chew on, guys. But that's what I call the good old days. That's what I call the good old United States. You were capable of doing things in the U.S. We were crazy. We were fun. We had people running. Everything was excitement. It was opportunity. Look at nowadays. We're so stifled. We're in such a conformist society. It's crazy. That was cool back then. But, hey, guys, I got some more weird facts for you before we sign out. I can't even believe it. An hour and a half has gone by. Can't even believe it. But a couple weird facts for you. Okay, so do I have weird facts? Yes, I do. So this is to show how funny people were. They actually did not want, in the campaign election of 1960, they did not want John F. Kennedy to win because he was a Roman Catholic. They feared that if he won the election in 1960, the entire United States would be under the Pope. Yes, under the arm of religion. Hello, are we not that way now, people? Have you not given religion, what is this separation of church and state we fought for hundreds of years ago? There is no separation of church and state today. Our government is a church. This is insane. I don't know what people were thinking. So thanks for nothing in 1960. But I do support Kennedy. I thought he was an awesome guy. So whatever. But, I mean, it was nuts. But here's some weird facts for you guys. These are 8 presidents that have died in office. William Harrison died of pneumonia. Zachary Taylor died of gastro, what is this? Gastroenteritis?
Enteritis?
Enteritis?
Yeah, the shit.
Well, okay then. That probably isn't a proud thing to say for Mr. Tyler, or Taylor. Lincoln was assassinated. James Garfield, assassinated. William McKinley, assassinated. Warren Harding, heart attack. Franklin D. Roosevelt, cerebral hemorrhage. I remember this. John F. Kennedy, assassination. Ronald Reagan, almost assassination. How many presidents since then have almost been assassinated? Insane. Ronald Reagan is technically the only divorced man to be elected president. James Buchanan was the only bachelor to be elected president. And, I mean, these are just strange things I thought were funny, guys. Only 12 U.S. presidents have been elected to office for two terms. Franklin D. Roosevelt was elected to four terms prior to the 22nd Amendment. They had to make a freaking amendment because the man was like Richard Daley. It was like the Daley family in Chicago. They just kept going. It was like the reign of Daley, 1,000 years, you know. But, hey, I like the Daleys. I don't care. Get off their back. I like them. They run the fifth. They run with the fifth. It's like it's 1920s all over. I like it. I like it. Gangsta Chicago. Anyway, the U.S. Constitution has only three requirements for a president. You must be 35 years old, you must have lived in the United States at least 14 years, and you must be a natural-born citizen. Why do we not have more people running?
Why don't you run?
I'm going to run. I'm not 35. But in 10 years, I'm going to run. Seriously, more people can run, guys. That's all you need. That's all the requirements are. Come on now. Okay, John F. Kennedy was the youngest elected president at 43. Ronald Reagan was the oldest elected president at 73. The only president and vice president to never be elected to office was Gerald Ford. This cracked me up. This is how things should be done. All right? He became vice president when Spiro Agnew resigned and became president when Nixon resigned. The man never ran for president or vice president. He was just elected because people kept dropping out. Then candidate Gerald Ford. That's the American way. We don't do shit and we get it. I don't know.
President by
default goes to Gerald Ford. Okay, the tallest president was Lincoln at 6'4". The shortest was Madison at 5'4". I don't know. People are getting shorter. We're going to have a president that's 2'5" soon. It'll be awesome. It'll be great. You know, their campaign will be, let's take America over the rainbow. It'll be great. It's a good time. So, and I'm going to get letters for that comment. But I don't care because it's been a crazy show, and we actually have run out of time. So we're going to have to end this baby. We're bringing this puppy to a halt. But you know what, guys? Thank you for tuning in. This has been a nuts show. Thanks for sticking around. We had, you know, I was kind of like out of my gourd when I started this show because we've been so busy setting up for this. We switched to an hour and a half. We got to set up a whole new format. It's insane. You guys are going right along with us. You know, the pitfalls and the triumphs. So awesome. We have now teamed up. We are on the horrormoviefan.com. Radio Network, which is awesome, awesome, awesome. I can't wait. We're going to have future great shows. It's going to be awesome. Stay tuned for future episodes, guys, because we've got Lloyd Kaufman, the head of Troma, coming on, and we're going to have Robert Dunbar, who basically the Jersey Devil is all over this. These are exciting times, guys. We're going to have psychics on. We're going to have movie people on. We're going to have people from special effects artists to directors to actors to we're going to have spiritualists and demonologists and psychics and all sorts of insanity, and you're only going to get it right here in the Gorgo Variety Hour because this is a variety hour, guys. I give you a little bit of everything, and the whole point is just to have fun and be entertained with it. So you know what? Thanks for tuning in to our first episode, our election episode, our insane episode, which God knows what I just rambled on about an hour and a half for. But good times, guys. I will see you next Wednesday at 7. We're going to talk about all sorts of horror stuff and all sorts of insanity. I'm going to eat my own flesh. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be crazy. This is Gore Girl signing off. I'm going to go bash my head in a wall because the coke is now exceeding the limits of my body. I love you all. Sincerely, from the bottom of my twisted black heart, we love you. Tune in next week. Thanks. Or not. Or we're just going to stick around. I'll see you next week, guys. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Chicago.